Hey, it's L.A. Lloyd. Proud to welcome Caleb Shomo back on the Rock 30 to co-host for his seventh time today and taking a little time from his stage performance on the road. Great to have you, man. Good to see you.
Appreciate it, man. Good to be here, as always.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really cool catching up with you right in the middle of your tour, and I know you're getting pulled from all sides. I'll get to see you a little bit later on down the road in San Antonio on February 17th. But, you know, just getting a notification from bands in town today of how many of these shows are already sold out in advance, man. I mean, that is that's quite the accomplishment. You've really started covering a lot of ground. So let's talk about the tour first of all, man. It sounds like it's going great.
It has been amazing so far. Yeah, I mean, we got five shows left to sell out. I think San Antonio is going to be next one on the list that goes. I believe the Boeing Center.
Yeah,
is that correct?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's the one.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I mean, that, you know, I think it's a good sign. And I'm very proud of the show. You know, we put in so much work and so much effort, everybody from the band to the crew. You know, we've been dialing this thing in for months. So to be able to see it all happening now and, you know, get it going underway, it's great.
Yeah.
Very happy to finally be out here.
Well, I did see something you had mentioned in another interview, and, you know, you were talking about how much you love the tour, but it's, you know, kind of hard for you to put yourself out there. And we discussed this other times when you've been on the Rock 30, but look, your popularity is growing. Has it become easier to kind of be in the spotlight, if you will? And are you more comfortable now and maybe, you know, actually starting to enjoy it a little more?
It definitely depends. It's like, I must say, like, it's obviously always cool seeing us accomplish things and seeing, you know, more people come to the shows, seeing us being able to do bigger productions and do more bits and all that. But I think me becoming more famous is always still going to be weird. I'm just not sure how I feel about it. And I definitely still try to kind of stay off the grid as much as I can. But it you know, it is an inevitable reality of success of, you know, a band in the public eye to some extent. But yeah, I just try and take it kind of day by day and just lay low when I can, you know what I mean?
Well, I know you're getting, like you said, you're getting pulled by not only people you work with, but the fans. And you've always been really good being with the fans. I was kind of interested how your approach to songwriting has changed, if at all, compared to, you know, when you were a 19-year-old guy. And obviously this new album is a little bit different from what we've heard before. But has your songwriting approach or the way you go about writing new material completely changed, or what's kind of the same?
You know, what's changed about my songwriting approach is really just been, at least for this record, the order in which things have happened.
Right.
It's all kind of at the same root, you know, where at least for Beartooth songs, it's just, what am I going through at this point in life? What specifically about what I'm going through do I want to talk about? And then I start talking about it. But what's kind of changed is with this record, I focused way more on, you know, writing like the lyric and the melody first. Traditionally with Beartooth songs, I'll write, at least in the past, I would write kind of all the music first. Then I would write, you know, kind of lyrics and melodies and ideas to that music. And then I'd go back and kind of change the music to make sense with the vocals, so on and so forth until it was done. But with this one, I just kind of stripped away all the music and would keep it as simple as, you know, kind of what is the tempo, what's the groove, and what's the key?
Yeah.
Come up with, you know, whatever that chord progression is that fits whatever this thing is that I want to talk about and start going from there. But yeah, I think it made it a little easier for me to make sure I'm saying exactly what I want to say.
Right.
Instead of, you know, sometimes having to fit words into music that's already there.
I gotcha. Well, you know, you have talked about how, you know, working on The Surface was a very all-encompassing of your time. Once it was finally released on October 13th of last year, did it feel like this weight had been lifted off your shoulder, or more like a celebration of this great accomplishment to pull off what you wanted to do?
Honestly, it was kind of a weird thing. Like when it came out, I don't know. I think the weight of making this record was just so heavy. Like, obviously, it was a good thing, and I'm talking about more positive. Kind of had pressure on myself like I have for this record.
Right.
I know what I'm capable of, and I know what's in front of me. And now going into making a record with a completely clear mind, a clear conscience and, you know, a clean bill of health, I was like, all right, you can't leave anything on the table, but you right. got to take this the whole way and really make sure you gave everything. So, you know, I think the way that weight, I'm still kind of working on learning how to carry it to this day.
Yeah.
So when the record came out, and there were some kind of other things in life going on that were pretty intense at that time too, it made it, I mean, yes, it was great. And I'm still very excited that it's going, but it was also different because we weren't on the road. Most of the time we release a record and we're on tour. You know, we've been supporting this record already. We put out a couple singles. We've been out on the road for a few weeks, and then the record comes out in the middle of the tour. But this one, you know, we thought it was important that people knew the whole record before we started touring.
Right. Right.
We put out the record, then announced the tour, and then waited a few months for it to sell tickets and then went out. So that was another kind of bizarre one where, you know, it's like it's out, and then I'm just kind of sitting there like, well, okay, here we go. And but now that we're out on the road, it feels more and more every day. Like the weight is getting a little lighter. I'm like, okay, people understand what I'm trying to say. People get it. You know, as many interviews as I can do with people or talk to radio stations that like have been playing the music and they've been hearing responses from fans and stuff, mm-hmm. Because I usually stay pretty far away from it, I don't really get to feel it until we're on the road. And like when I'm up on that stage and I'm in the room and I'm feeling that response that I'm so used to, then I can kind of get a grasp on, okay, they seem to really like this song. This song maybe isn't as great. This one, they like this chorus. They like this, you know, then I can kind of start to break it down a little bit.
Yeah.
It's been a wild one for sure.
Well, this is a little bit of an extension of that last question. I mean, you know, having some different material, did that just come heavily, not only from your mental well-being, but, you know, as we talked about how you were really getting more physically stronger. And, you know, I mean, did that really have a lot to do with the songwriting as well?
Absolutely. It had so much to do with the songwriting. You know, like the Beartooth, just the nature of the beast being me talking about what I'm going through, you know, kind of right at that moment every couple of years, you know, the physical and mental aspect of where I was at in my life it impacted it so heavily. I think that's kind of everything. You know, there's no way I'd be writing a song like Might Love Myself if I wasn't on that journey. There's no way I'd be writing a song like I Was Alive. No chance.
Right.
Riptide, Sunshine. I mean, literally almost any of them, except for maybe a handful in the middle. It really is everything. And I'm very glad that I decided to make those changes in my life. And it's nice to see them panning out in real time.
Yeah, well, the momentum obviously continues to grow, but, you know, when everyone was in COVID and that lockdown, really just everyone had to hit the brakes, do you feel like you're still kind of playing a little bit of a catch-up game just because of, you know, we had to sit stagnant for a long, long time, and, you know, obviously things are going well now, but is there still a little bit of catching up that maybe that COVID really kind of hindered you a little bit?
Oh, 100%. I mean, from just a, like, a pure logistical standpoint, it was a very bizarre thing because, you know, COVID hit directly, I mean, quite literally 4 or 5 days after our most successful tour we had ever done to date, which right. was a headliner in Europe. It was at the very end of the disease record cycle. We had a lot of momentum and, you know, we had a lot of big plans for some things we were going to do. We were going to do some other tours with some other bands. We had a lot of really cool things in the works, and then it was just like, cut it off.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then we just kind of had to pivot and go back into writing mode. And, you know, I had to finish up that record, and it was what it was. But oddly enough, I do think, and obviously I cannot say this for sure, but what I do know for sure is if COVID would have not happened and I would have carried on like living the way that I was living and kind of living in that same headspace.
Yeah.
There's no way this record would be here.
Wow.
You know, the 5th Beartooth record and the 4th Beartooth record. I have no idea what that looks like, but I cannot imagine that it would be more satisfying than it is for me to do this now.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, as much as COVID was gruesome, that really painful period of my life was pivotal for me learning how to become a better person, you know, for, you know, I had spent 28 years kind of in a very similar, same kind of mental things that I'd never really got a grasp on. I a lot of negativity that I never really processed. If you were to really put it all in a timeline, if there were two timelines, like COVID didn't happen and COVID did happen,
yeah,
I would assume I would not be as happy as I am currently had I not gone through all that gnarly stuff. And therefore, I'm not sure I would have had the mental capacity to take on what I think Beartooth is capable of doing.
Right.
You know, I truly believe in my heart that we are going to do some amazing things. And I always kind of like never really believed that. And I would kind of like put that off, be like, you know, people ask me in interviews, like, what's next? What's the goal for Beartooth? Do you want to get into arenas? Do you want to blah, blah, blah? And I would always say, I don't care what we do as long as I'm happy.
Right.
Which I do mean that to a point, like even still to this day, like if we were just playing shows in clubs, I'd be having like little bars. I just love playing music and it's an honor to be able to do it. But also there's a part of me that's like, Beartooth is going to headline stadiums. Like that's what I believe. If I put in the work to do it, I think we could do it someday.
Yeah.
Whether it happens or not, who knows? But I don't think I would have been able to have that confidence without that big stop in the momentum.
Right.
And like it forced me to learn how to be okay with myself.
Yeah.
And I don't think most great things don't happen with people that really, really hate every single thing about their being. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And who would have ever thought a pandemic would actually make your life better? But
oh yeah,
it's so weird to hear you say that.
It was the absolute worst thing in the world. But yeah, I think with major events like that, there are a lot of major events in people's lives that create two paths,
right?
You know, and I think kind of like with the pandemic, it was very much that same thing that we will never be the same. Like I can't just go back to however life was,
right?
So it's either I get better or worse. Which one is it? And thankfully, I chose to get better.
Yeah, thankfully, for sure. Well, I'm really glad that you and Hardy work together because for my personal feeling, I mean, both of you are two of the kindest guys I've ever interviewed. I mean, I love hanging out with you when we're together, and Hardy's just a hoot and just a sweet dude. But this is one of the first time you ever collaborated with someone else on a Beartooth record. So, I mean, obviously, he's easy to be around, but, you know, when you're working together on something that you're pretty much always kind of like this on everything you do, what was it like kind of getting the groove on?
It was cool, man. I mean, he, like you said, he really is one of the kindest people that you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
And anybody that knows him will tell you the same thing.
Right.
And there's, you know, it's because it's true. He's a very genuine person. And It was just such an honor to be able to work with somebody who is so talented and in a field that is very different than mine. You know, obviously we're all doing music, but like, you know, I don't know much about the country world.
Right.
You know, but he's kind of cut from the cloth of like, we listened to a lot of the same bands growing up and, you know, we know a lot of things about similar scenes and, he's a very eclectic musician. Like he's not just a country guy. But he's just an unbelievable, you know, talented singer and songwriter and a really good person. So to be able to have that happen for a Beartooth record and for it to be so unique was an honor, especially for somebody as, you know, as he is. The fact that he was down to work with me was absolutely an honor.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the Better Me video, I mean, there's a big portion of you guys obviously having a great time on a golf course. Now, I suck at golf, but I love to get out there and just hit the balls and get away from life for about 4 hours. I mean, are you a golfer? Is this something you just did for the video? Because I was like, man, I just want to be on this cart with these guys just hanging out, having a beer, or at least, you know, doing something for like that. You know, you look like y'all having a blast, man.
I mean, golf is a big part of my life.
Yeah.
My dad is actually a very accomplished mental coach for very high level golfers and, you know, juniors, works with a lot of colleges, and which is amazing. My brother, you know, is an amazing golfer. He played in school, and he still works in golf to this day. It's definitely in the blood, and it's, you know, I don't get to do it too often because I'm so busy with music.
Yeah.
But I absolutely love it. And you're right. Like, that's what I love so much about it is, and I find that a lot of musicians feel the same way, that golf is a place you can go to just completely disappear, and you don't think about work. You don't think about anything other than hitting another shot and having a good time.
Right. Yeah.
And that is what is so beautiful about it. So yeah, just sitting there with a cooler full of drinks and hanging out and doing nothing except have fun and hit balls for 4 hours. It is about as good as it gets.
I want to congratulate you on your first number one song in the Rock 30 for Might Love Myself. And I will tell you, and I could go back and find the tape if I had it. But, you know, this is one, the first time I played it, I said, I got a good feeling about this song. I just think this is going to be one that's going to go all the way to the top of the Rock 30. And it did. I mean, did you kind of feel like there was something special about this song even when you started working on it? Or is it just one of those that you went like, wow, I felt good about that song, but I didn't see it come like it really came blazing, you know?
100%. We did not think it was going to happen the way it happened. Mm. I really believed in that song, like proper single for the album, you know, because we'd done the standalones with Riptide and then Sunshine, kind of like warming up people for the record.
Right.
But we didn't, you know, tell them it was on the record. We didn't, whatever. So when we announced the record, it was crucial to me that Might Love Myself was the first one. Just because I think it says so much about the record as a whole. And it's also very different than anything we've ever done before. Yeah. And I wanted people to kind of get hit with that shock. Like, oh, okay, they're doing something else. We got to strap in and be prepared for this record. But I mean, candidly, we kind of, like as a team, we thought it would do well. And we hoped it would do well. We didn't think number one. I mean, and it wasn't even like it went fast.
Yeah, it sure did.
It quickly became number one, and it actually stayed in the top five for a very long time. Mm. But yeah, I mean, honestly, like I Was Alive was a song that I was like, if any of them were going to do it, I think it'll be this one. I feel so kind of honored and shocked and happy and floored and everything all at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, it's really amazing.
We discussed a little in our last interview, which was over a year ago, and that was, you know, the topic of self-love, which kind of, you know, Might Love Myself could lead all into that. What did it take for you personally to kind of get to a place where you could actually love yourself, so to speak? Because again, just the Caleb I see today compared to the first time I saw Caleb, like you said, maybe it was the COVID or the pandemic, but you're a different person, man, and I can tell you feel good about yourself and your career. So what did it actually take just to kind of get there where you do love yourself mentally and physically?
Yeah, quite a few things. You know, it's kind of an all-encompassing process, but I think a big thing was learning some like discipline. I think discipline has really helped me understand what self-love really means in a way that I've never felt before.
Right.
Just choosing to do things that may be difficult in that moment, but I know will help future me when I'm finished with whatever that thing is. I feel very proud of it. And it's like, you know, that kind of process just continued and it keeps getting deeper. And then, you know, when I started learning how to kind of like discipline myself and do things that are better for me that I don't necessarily want to do, I found that it just started leaking in other parts of my life. It started leaking into my, you know, the way I think and the way I view myself, understanding that like things don't change overnight and I can't expect anything to change overnight. I can only put in as much work as I can for that one day. And then I have to go to sleep and be happy with what I did for that one day.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it's like, did I put in my work or not? And then after a long time of putting in that work, I just started to notice consistencies that I'd never had before. I feel, you know, my body is running just better. Like I'm just generally feeling more sharp mentally. I don't feel sick. I don't feel as ill. And my mood is starting to improve. And then, yeah, when I like look in the mirror and ask myself those hard questions, I'm like, no, I did good. Like I'm proud of who I am right now. And I'm proud of the choices that I made today. And to me, that's kind of like when I started to realize, oh, this is like self-love. Like I'm really putting in the work to show my future self that I do love who I am, and I'm willing to put in the work to show that future me who it is. Yeah. And, you know, and I hope I'm doing that for the rest of my life.
And that's a great point there, because, you know, I'm glad you brought up I Was Alive. I was curious, was this one written more at the beginning or the end of the process of the album? For me, I'm going to take a guess and say it was at the end, because it's such a reflective song. It seems like maybe that came to you after some of the other songs were done. Am I right or wrong?
100% correct.
Oh, well, good.
That song was finished. I was supposed to be showing, you know, the head of my label and my A&R the record at 1 p.m. on, you know, a Tuesday, whatever day it was. Mm-hmm. And like that had been scheduled for a while. This is the first day I'm going to bring them in and show them the finished record. And at 1:15 p.m. that day, they were sitting in the lobby while I was on my computer finishing I Was Alive in the studio.
That's great.
And then they came in and heard it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the last thing that got written for the album. And it was written with my good friend Drew Folk, who I'd worked with before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's one of the most important songs I will ever write in my whole career. I really do believe that. And sometimes you get that magic at the end, you know, where, like you were saying, you got to wait until you see the whole record. And you're like, what do I need? Is there anything else that I need to say that I have not said yet?
Right.
That felt like something that needed to be said.
It's a great song, man. And I'm going to go ahead and say it, and you can witness it. I'm going to say this one's going to number one too, man. I think it's got the goods, brother.
I'm here for it, man. Yeah. I mean, truthfully, like, I hope it does.
Yeah.
You know, if, again, like, my Love Myself, you know, having a song that's all about self-love going to number one, having a song that's all about you living every ounce of life while you got it, if that makes it too, then I can be very, very proud of that song making it all the way.
Definitely gets me pumped up, man, for sure. So I know you got to get back to work, but I wanted to close it out today. Congratulations again on the success and moving forward. But, you know, as you continue to grow, it can create challenges, man. So as you keep moving into 2024, what do you see as a challenge right now, and what is it going to take to overcome it?
You know, my biggest challenge at the moment is kind of letting go of certain things and understanding that, like, what will be.
Right.
And this too shall pass, as a lot of people say.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a very common phrase, but sometimes it's very easy for me to feel overwhelmed. I have a very heavy hand in a live show, you know, in every aspect. I kind of orchestrated it and put it together. And so, like, working with the lighting team and the video team and the production and then the audio and just trying to make sure everything really, like, my vision comes to life, that I think can be a little overwhelming. And I think I kind of might take on a little too much sometimes. So it's like, there's a point where I just need to kind of look at this thing as a whole and say, look, you've done everything you need to do today. Now just sit back and enjoy it and be present. Because that's what I don't want to do.
Right.
I don't want to be so worried about things that it just flies by and I miss it, you know, which I kind of have already in a couple shows.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what I'm going to be working on this year, is just being present in the moment and trying to just remember little things about that day.
Well, good, man. Well, that's a great goal. And, you know, you really got me motivated. And I always enjoy talking with you, Caleb. And I'll see you at San Antonio. And hopefully between then and now, that show will sell out, man. And best of luck on the road. And we'll hang out together in SA, man.
I'll see you there, dude. Appreciate it.
All right, my friend. Take care. We'll see you soon.
All right. See you.